Coming up next, Stu Web Raw, the latest in news on the Veterans Radio Network.
About the meltdown in 2008, why there had to be a bank bailout. And basically, I'm going to throw my two cents in here at the beginning. And that's in Denver, Colorado, that people can't seem to understand. And I talked with another gentleman that's in the middle of the fight as well. And he's got the thing going to the Supreme Court, and he's figured out a way to do it. But Al Denver multiplied mortgages up to $100 trillion on houses using a company called MDC Holdings and subsidiary asset investors. And you can see my SEC whistleblower filing on the front of my website, stuweb.com. You can also see in there where I put in regard to HSCB Bank, which was doing the derivative side of it, and what they were doing is packaging these up and selling them as mortgage-backed securities, derivatized, and with life insurance policies on them. And then they had created MERS back in 1993 to cover this up. And this goes clear back, I've got the dates on it, goes clear back to mid-1970s when George Herbert Walker Bush was CIA director, and they were doing a test run in Colorado to see if they could get away with it, break the FDIC, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, bleed them dry. Your pockets, folks. All these years since the 1970s, this has gone on with artificial mortgages. Now they're stealing people's homes, and they've stolen an estimated 13 million people's homes that were legitimately paying their mortgages. Now the widows, they're going in, and they're taking their homes away from them because when their mortgages are paid off with life insurance that they've been requiring since around 2000 and 2001 on all mortgages in the U.S., they're turning around, they're stealing their homes back. After they pay off their homes, they're claiming that they own the homes, and they're coming in that way and stealing their homes. Now, this is all, you know, people paying their homes legitimately and so on and so forth, but yet they're being robbed and looted. And we got, you know, Eric Holder that covered up for him continuously, wouldn't do anything, set up a special strike force to stop the attorney generals around the U.S. who were screaming and yelling. The Kentucky Attorney General is going after him and trying to get relief for the people that have had their homes taken from him. The California Attorney General is now beginning once again to go after him because the Attorney General of the United States didn't do it. Instead, he filled his pockets at a $70 million a year payoff bribe with his new job at J.P. Morgan. Now, Carol, you've been involved in this for how many years? And I want you to tell people your story. And how you've been fighting them.
Well, can you hear me okay?
We can. And in the last part, Gene Chip Tatum's going to join us and talk about how he was carrying mortgage boxes up to Norman Brownstein, who was the one selling the derivatives. And that was back in 1980s, folks.
So that'll be great.
3 years. Go ahead, Carol. I'm going to let you tell your story.
Okay. Well, I am a middle-aged woman from Indiana, and I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, and lived here most of my life in this area, except for Michigan for a short while back in the 60s. And I have SAP R3 data warehousing real-time experience. I can read. I'm an inventory control specialist, or I used to be. I used to work in photo processing for Eastman Kodak, and I would go around and set up the photo processors where you go in and you get the machines that would, I would set up those studios and targets in various places. And then I photographed for many, many years, 13 years, you know, like, the school pictures of children. I'd go in and photograph the children in groups, and I know a lot about transparencies. My mother is, a very intelligent lady. My father, I didn't know, but he was an Air Force guy. He still is, and he worked for United Airlines out in San Francisco. And I didn't meet him till I was 29. And then I married Frank, and we had children. My middle daughter bought her first house back in 2008, she thought. I babysat for her children while she went to look at this house, so I had limited knowledge. I know I had the children here while she was reportedly, and then I had saw some of the papers. And she was making her payment up until 2012, and she had some problems. She went under a federally funded unemployment program where they gave the lender or the servicer grants. The government did, basically. So it wasn't a remod. So they foreclosed upon her, and when they did, within days, and I shouldn't leave this out. This is pretty important to me. I was very sick. In 2011, I was working as a professional seamstress. I do that, too, by the way, at a plant or a facility here, and they had a trade secret. They had this organic dye they would do the brushes with and the quilting material, and several women got sick. Well, I was poisoned, and I developed what's called scleroderma, and it's hardening. Usually it's hardening of the skin, but I developed it in my internal organs. So my body attacks itself constantly, so from my stomach, my smooth muscles. And there's no doubt about it, I had it, and I was supposed to have expired in 2013. They told me to get my affairs in order. I went to three specialists. My husband was beside himself, and when my daughter came here, and I said, let me, because I couldn't do anything else, I was bedridden, I said, let me just look at your papers, bring some of them over while I noticed backdating. Well, that motivated me, Stu, to get up and put on my blue jeans, and I went over to her house with a big black trash bag. I'm like, I want everything. And she's like, Mom, I said, let's go to the basement. Let's go. I want every single thing. Do you keep? And she keeps stuff like I do. So I got it all and brought it home and spent about 2 weeks drinking coffee and standing up a lot. That compared to being bedridden, right, and dying on my deathbed. I got madder than all get out. By I don't know, a matter of 3 or 4 days, I had figured out there were three properties. All it took was opening up the folder. I opened up a folder she had in the basement that Tim Orr, the real estate agent, had sent her. And it had a thank you card. She saves everything on the outside of it. It had a band around it. I opened it up, and my daughter had purchased one home only, to her knowledge, I later found out, and to my knowledge. But there were three homes in this title commitment. And there was ALTA forms that are already predetermined, folks. They backdate in the parentheses. If you see it on your document, and let's say it's 2015, and you sign something that has 2010 in parentheses, they are taking it back into one of their cycles for this insurance scam that's going on behind the scenes that all ties to the life insurance. So that's just the short of it. I found a bunch of fraud, and I followed the paperwork, their paperwork, not anybody else's. I went to the courthouse, to the land records. I did the research, and I recreated it because I had a good base. I had three properties. So down here on this lowest level, I know how they're doing this. They are backdating the title policies in the potential buyer's name, therefore making the buyer the seller at the closing table. She sells it to the straw owner that the title company is using at that particular time. And then she quitclaim deeds it to the man, gets a divorce, and then she's married off into the second property and the third. And those mortgages aren't so important. What's important about those is the insurance scam going on in our judicial mill that is operating here in this continent, because they break it all down by state, by district, by nation, by transcontinental divide ways. They're breaking it all down, and it all goes to one place, I suspect. In the very end, it goes to one place. I know the votes go to Israel due to cell spikes. I know that much. Then the voters, you were talking about Kentucky. That guy down in Kentucky, I saw Ken Taylor's, who I saw with the DOJ when I went down there with Denny Payman, that sheriff, Stu. Those, are you there, Stu?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, well, those guys, the guy that, there was four of them in there whenever I was telling them about this. Those votes, all of those candidates, all of those officials, their voter IDs have been compromised. They are all illegal, unverified prisoners in the Arizona federal prison system, every single candidate. Now, the candidates' IDs have been stolen. What's this satellite system going on here? Well, this is where you take a switch. You do the buy-sell, sell-buy like I'm talking about, that Metropolitan Life introduced in 1999. But a lot of, I know your guy was key here, but I'm just telling my particular experience. So here's these these candidates, and this guy, I'm looking at him, he goes, what's that have to do anything? And they'd ask, somebody asked the feds to sit in, that FBI guy was down there. And I said, well, now, if you've got bad state actors collecting on paper doll prisoners from the feds, don't you think somebody ought to know about that? And he was giving me the Sullivan nod. That's a yes, 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 yes. That was some serious body language, because he was writing like a madman. I told him where I went, and I said, and you can get in and look at my computers, and you follow where I went, and you'll see that I went right where I said I went, got into their database, found out how they're doing this, because these guys are freaking greedy idiots. They're stupid. I got the template for the fraud, and I'm thinking, oh, my word, this can't be, right? I can't certainly know how simple this is. Then I go and look up the land records, and the deputy sheriff tells me to go get a court case from the courthouse. I go over there, told her it had an extra zero in it. She said, get the case I'm telling you to get. I went and got it, and it had 9 properties in it, and it went right up into federal bankruptcy, and it had a trust with 2,950 properties underneath of it. So then I got to break in some code. I got to transporting things out of into Word 2003 from different formats after I OCR'd it, and I got into kind of like their patents. They're secret hidden language that are within everybody's electronic filed forms. Every one of them, unless they protected them or something, you can pretty much, anyone can do this.
Oh, go on with the story. You've been involved.
That's enough, isn't it? My word. I sound like a... But anyway, it was easy for me, and it actually helped me. I got better. I thought, this one attorney one time said to Rachel, well, I thought your mother was going to pass away. And I was thinking, he wishes. They wished I'd go ahead and keel over. No way am I going out like this. And I said that. This is absolutely ridiculous what's happened here. They took my daughter's two sons' socials, and they made them 24 years old. So let's say Cameron Smith. The straw owner of the place is named Paul Stickle. That's a fact. That's what's on the paperwork. Paul Stickle. He's from here in Indiana. And anyway, now it's Cameron Stickle. He's 24, working for a nonprofit for the municipality, Highland Heights Golf Course, because that's how they trade on Wall Street here in our little city of Richmond, Indiana, located in Wayne County, Indiana. That's tied directly to the warrants I found from Wayne County, Michigan, which is Detroit. And that is the IRS's criminal warrant database. Kathy Cox, a special agent, told me so from Ogden, Utah, and she told me my grandson had 90-something warrants, 47 or 49 were felonies. Those are worth big money based on the level of felony it is in federal funds to these state actors, see?
Now, explain that to people, because they don't understand that. People just can't get a grasp of what's going on.
Well, I'll try, because I didn't understand it either, but I had the actual fake warrants in the court case. That's why Mears came in and paid the judge a check based on already paid, reissued warrants out of the system. They're doing weed lien fraud at the local level. So I will try. A warrant is like a check or money. Any piece of paper that's filed in court, if you get a lawyer who sends you a 9-page complaint and it's bordered on every single page, that means 9 cases are going to be rehypothecated or copied, because anything with a border around it in their legalese and their law, they can take that and separate it much the way they do these mortgages. Like if you got a 9-page mortgage and you're looking and you're scanning it, everybody look up in the left-hand corner and see the staple marks. Page 3 might have 20 staple marks, or the last page might have 30. They're doing the same thing with the court cases. They're doing the exact same duplication of the paperwork, and they're interchanging them, because that's what a multi-state note is all about. Why would they have them if they weren't interchanging pages? And they do that through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who puts out letters like a 2008 HUD lead paint disclosure letter. Get online and look. HUD supplies it, and it shows the clerks how to not put that they changed the paperwork, but how to fix whatever has been done internally.
Okay. So what you've come across, Carol, just by your research on the mortgage angle of things, you've come across all this other fictitious crap that they've applied to the American people that they don't know about it, correct?
Well, I probably should have. I'm a self-proclaimed expert in high-commitment work system and people systems and design. I worked at a facility here in town for 10 years and became back in the early days.
And so it was part of the attention of the Inspector General of the U.S. Treasury over this, without mentioning any names of anybody, but you got their attention, and actually you're working with them, and they've been helping you and helping.
I don't know if they've been helping or not, but I've been working with them. I'm in constant communication through the internet medium, I'm sure, because I have anytime I find something or even do a screenshot, they have a way to capture that. So they can't come in and claim, oh, well, we didn't know, because, yeah, they do know. They know it. There's no doubt about it in this case. And it's happening everywhere. It's part of what your guy, your ex-father-in-law, Mizella, whatever his name is.
Millman and Mizell, the two that created the mortgages, yeah? Well, here's the deal, is that you've come across this, and for the edification of the listeners out here, because we're going to talk about this for 2 hours. We're going to take calls. We should have Michelle Hansen calling in after a bit. She was one of the gals I wrote a story about that you know very well.
Yeah, she had me help her. She reached out to me, and we started hanging out on the phone, and we ended up just going into right away. When people will quit looking at what they think is going on, you need to, I understood this early on, and my mother she's very intelligent, and she did some work back in the 60s. But she showed me some things on mirrors when I was a young age. Everything that we think is the opposite, and in their world, they just flip that court case over and look at the blank back page, and they write their own story. That's why they act like they can't hear anybody, and they won't do anything, because you have to learn how to do what they're doing. I saw them the other day putting orange stickers on the back of cases. They were running them in and out like cows.
Carol, in Michelle's case, they stole her home. Hopefully we'll have her on this evening. She was kind of busy in something she was going to try to make.
She said we could talk about her.
Yeah, let's talk about her case. You know, they go and take her house. She's got a husband that dies of a strange heart cancer that they can't save him. And here she is in her early 30s, young widow, and she, you know, takes a will. Her home's paid off, financed by J.P. Morgan, paid off by, I think it was, Metropolitan Life? I'm thinking that's what it was. And so, on her mortgage. So she goes back to the attorney in Colorado that was the one that drew up a will for her husband, will in the house, you know, the estate over to her, and they're telling her to keep the mortgage payments paid, which she was doing, and the whole bit. And they screwed her over. She went to another attorney. They screwed her over. She went to a third attorney. I think it was the third one, offered her one that appears on Alex Jones all the time as one of his good buddies. Tells her that, oh, we'll give you $75,000 if you just stop this. And she had a $150,000 house, roughly, in that value range. And they kicked her out of her house.
Well, you know what they got right there going on with these attorneys? They're stuck in a game. So that Gary Fielder, my understanding, because I'm understanding this from looking at the actual documents. He's the head honcho, lead attorney, and they don't ever take those attorneys off the cases, folks. They say that an attorney will make an entrance, an appearance, on a motion or put in an appearance form, but then when the judge tells the attorney to get lost, he doesn't excuse the attorney. He excuses the law firm. The attorney's still in the background collecting on this insurance fraud. They're all doing it, and they don't know how to get out of the game. There's a few of them that are trying, but there's not very many, and I tell you, a new trend's coming.
Carol, in Michelle's case, they actually kicked her out underneath, I believe it was her maiden name, and all other persons, and stole her house from her. And it was the same people the same mortgage scamsters that were doing this multiplication, Mizell and Millman out of Denver, that were doing the multiplication of these mortgages upon mortgages when they were buying them.
And they're running them in the probation department under juvenile delinquent accounts, these fake prisoners. Like, how would one little four-year-old boy, why would he have 97 warrants on his head? Well, they give these prisoners commissary, all that, this little boy doesn't exist 47 times, and that's a fact, because the IRS special agent, Kathy Cox from Ogden, Utah, told me that. And it's well documented. She informed me of that. She had full authority to do it, too, and she said they've accessed our National Criminal Warrant Database. And I said, did I? She goes, no, you have the product of where they went in and reissued these in Wayne County, Indiana, Wayne County, Michigan. Yeah.
In Michelle's case, she discovered after they threw her out of her own home and the whole bit, which I had talked to her and said the way it's looking, and they got a foreclosure and supposedly selling her house on the auction block to a Swiss investor, which is back to them. They were just stealing the house. But she found a lot of mortgages on her house, didn't she?
Yeah, because she doesn't understand what was going on. She wasn't awake back then, and now that she understands, she sees that Dan might have had a pretty important job at that software company that trained government employees in banking and financial software deep in the bowels of the earth in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, that would be an issue right there, that in him to have the rarest cancer tumor move from his lower extremities up to his heart, and him die before, I think he was not even 30 yet. He looked like a nice man, and then have a con man come right in, actually pray her out on eHarmony, I think.
Yeah, that was a couple years after her death of her husband.
It was in the 9 months. He was in the house in 9 months.
Yep. And he had been using, and the guy still uses, Jason Hovde, still using her identity, still running credit cards on her, and a whole bit, and still couldn't find
somebody
her.
Somebody is.
Yeah. And Hovde,
yeah, somebody is. Don't know it. He could have dropped her like a hot potato now, because he's trying to be good for a minute. He's got maybe a new victim.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. But basically, it's a mill out here, especially in Colorado. It's the worst. That was the test ground, folks. And in these mortgages, I've got it back there, 1977, out of a savings and loan in Texas, where they were doing the first ones, why Daddy Bush was CIA director, and they were doing the test runs with Leonard Moman and Larry Mizell to see if they could get away with it. With the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, drain them dry as much as they can over the years, and they just got crazy during the 2000 time.
Well, I don't doubt that. Old George Bush, not Daddy, but the junior, he worked for Colgate-Palmolive and plugged the toothpaste, and I worked for them for many years, and that's MetLife was, I was part of the stockholders class action inadvertently through holding stock through the company, because that's MetLife and Colgate-Palmolive go hand in hand. So it was quite interesting, that place, and that's how the world really works, because the United States government adopted that. Daddy Bush adopted the high commitment work system design under the New World Order speech that he gave in 1991, I think. They started doing this One World Order, and it's this high commitment work system that Colgate-Palmolive has been pushing from the Netherlands for a long, long time.
And what is that exactly?
Well, we had to play Survivor before it became a pilot, and we got sent movies. Employees there got sent movies and stuff to rate them, and we did the shows before they became shows in our exercises, and that's how they did the study on me. And my people that I worked with there, they were doing a health study on the deprivation of sleep by working rotating shifts, and they were getting grants for that, and it was to study the longevity of life, and it was with MetLife, and I mean to tell you, they quit the experiment after just a few questions from me and my attorney and I at that time. Just a few questions, are you doing a study? And she's like, yes. Shut that one down. I was like, I'll tell you what, this is absolute bullshit. You can't do this. You got to tell people if you're playing Zimbabwe Stanford Prison Experiments, because that's the dude that works for them. The Stanford Prison Experiment guy.
Okay, now, Carol, we're all over the board with this tonight already. because you're a
little bit deeper. Well, then I'll be quiet. You talk.
No, you're a little bit deeper. We got to stay focused. You're a little bit deeper than the average person listening tonight can even understand. I mean,
How do you know? How do you know somebody else? I'm sure there's people out there that know way more than I do, and they'll be like, she's right on that level. If she knows that on that level, I know this on this level, and that'll make a change, too.
Very good. And I'm in agreement with you. I just want to stay focused one subject at a time.
Well, refocus me then. I forgot what we were talking about.
Okay. We were talking about mortgages, but let's go to this realm. That what is happening is this little 401%, the Illuminati. They figured out a way to hook everybody up in such a system that you got warrants out here that's making the counties money. I want you to explain on that and how that little trick's played that you've discovered.
Okay, well, the warrants, for all they know, there's distance between all these entities. For all they know, the person who's reporting that they have 190 prisoners or juveniles may only have 100, and they're lying about the other 90. So those are just paper doll identities where they got into everybody's tax records when they remodded and, you know, took any part of the National Mortgage Settlement Act. They're running the National Mortgage Settlement Act on these fake mortgages, and they're paying each other in the former homeowner's name. That's why on Michelle's case, that other lady that Ileana Torrens came up to at the sale. And then the guy had called her and told her, or wrote her and told her that she had bought her own home. So that was a big kind of slap in the face there, I thought, for him to do that.
Okay, but they're making money. They're showing that they have prisoners that they don't have. So they're making money. The county, state, and everybody's involved. And then when we get into the mortgage side, let's stay there for a minute with that. We have one case, I forgot the gal's name, it's not in front of me, that she actually got a judgment. They tried to steal her home after her husband died, a widow, 60-some-odd uh-huh. years of age. I'm trying to think of her name. And the one that they jailed and made her, gave her diesel therapy, moving her from prison to prison, and she got...
Mary McCauley?
Yes. Talk about her and the $6 million judgment. What happened to her and how they put her in jail?
Well, it's this is just what I've heard, it's from reliable sources, though, I will say. And then I was at somebody's house when she made a phone call to them from wherever she was at. But she had a favorable judgment, and they came in on an in rem, that means backdated, basically, a former action where there was a complaint against her. They acted upon it after she got the award. So she reportedly had an attorney.
She got a $6 million award against the bank.
U.S. Bank.
Okay, against U.S.
McCauley versus U.S. Bank, and I think it was in Montana. It might have been in Kentucky, though. I think Kentucky's where they that happened at, though. Kentucky, where they...
Okay, she got the judgment against them, where they were trying to steal her house because it was paid off when her husband died, and then they turn around and explain what happened.
Well, I don't really know other than...